Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing more than tell God, thank you, God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you for being an awesome and mighty God. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for putting praise in our hearts, for you are awesome and mighty. Heavenly Father God, we come before you this morning with hands lifted up and our eyes upon the hill from which our help comes from. Our help comes from you, Father God. So, Father God, we lift up this mighty word today, asking you, Lord God, as we ask every day, to increase as we decrease, Father God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. Praise you, God. We lift you up. We lift up. We say thank you. Words cannot express how much we appreciate you, Lord, and how much we just want to tell you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we give you honor, and Lord, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm just filled up, God. I'm filled up, Mother. This morning,
amen.
As the song says, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. That's just how I felt. A hallelujah in my spirit today. A hallelujah in my heart. And a hallelujah in my mind. Just thanking God for another day, because he didn't have to wake us up this morning. He didn't have to give us another day, but he did. And all I can say is thank you. I just say thank you. Thank the Lord God for his grace and his mercy. And, you know, I was just having a moment with God just today. You know, I was on another engagement, and it was just about praise and worship, and we have to have it. And as I went into our prayer for this morning, which is coming out of Jeremiah chapter 29, and it says, deepest desire, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me. And you know, when we go to Jeremiah 29, you know, we all know Jeremiah 29 and 11. But to get it all in context, Mother, you know, we're not in Jeremiah, but sometimes God will give you a word that you just need to go and explore just a little closer. And, you know, when we go to Jeremiah chapter 29, starting at verse 10, it says, "But thus says the Lord, after 70 years I completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Woo, hallelujah. And I love it. It says, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place for which I caused you to be carried away captive. And as we are in the book of Numbers, they are wanting to go into the promised land. But when we go into the promised land, are we listening to God? And the word that God I normally have for this is, are you a 10 or a 2? But this morning, God said, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And that is our title for this morning, all the earth, not just some parts of it, but all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And as we go into the word, it says, oh, Lord, my hope. This is our prayer this morning. I know that all I'm looking for is found in you. When I look for you, I find rest for my soul. I know that you don't work in the same timeline that I do, but I also believe that your ways are better and that your timing is better than my own. Help me to trust you as I look for you, Lord. Would you fill me with a deep sense of satisfaction only found in knowing you? I lay down my need for temporal things. I know you care about my physical needs, but there is so much more to life than having every superficial desire met. I don't want to be like a spoiled child that does not realize the goodness of their father because they are so caught up in the consumerist ways of always wanting more and that which does not last. You are not only the source of every good gift. Oh, can you say it with me? You are the source not only of every good gift. You are the best one. I will let you take care of me like a good father does. And I will press into knowing you through time and relationship. And the question for this morning as we go into our words to think on is, do you spend more time thinking about what you need from God or about getting to know who he is? Hallelujah. Do you know God? As Mary had gone back in the old days, I love God. Do you love God? You don't love God? What's wrong with you? You know, we got to love God. We got to tell God thank you. We got to know who we belong to and quit getting into self and get out of self and get into God. You know, in our word this morning, the children of Israel are close, I mean, a throw away from going into the promised land. Right at the cusp of walking in, all God is going to do is the Lord's side. Who will believe that what God said that he will do for them, he will do? Or who will step back and say, well, you know, I don't know, there's giants over there. I'm not sure we can do it. You know, God said, if God says we can do it, we can do all things but fail. Am I right, Mother? We can do all things but fail when God is with us. All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. All the earth, not just some parts, but all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. And it says in our word this morning, so please join me this morning. This is Old Testament Friday, and we are in the book of Numbers. And this morning we will be reading Numbers chapter 13 to chapter 18. I will be coming first this morning with chapter 13 through 15, and then Mother will be back with chapter 16 through 18. And I'm going to tell you, this word, every time I read it, it does something, because we've been taught that we want to be a 10. You know, we've had movies that say you're a 10. You know, 10 is the best. But in this word today, a 2 is better. Mother Valerie, where 2 or 3 gather in his name, doesn't his word tell us he will be a God in the midst? Isn't that what he says?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And so today, we're going to be 2. We're going to be a 2 because we believe we're on the Lord's side. And we know that all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because when God says that he will take you to it, we know without any doubt that he will bring us through it. Hallelujah. When God says, I have a land flowing with milk and honey, and all you got to do is walk in. That's what you should do, right? Walk in. So let's see what happens to the children of Israel, because you know what God told them. He already said it many times. You are a stiff-necked people, just hard-headed is what I say. But he called them stiff-necked because they always had so much unbelief. You know, God gave them food, they whined and complained because they wanted meat. God gave them meat, they whined and complained because they needed water. God gave them water, and then they whined and complained. Woe is us. So let's see what happens today, Mother, because I'm going to tell y'all one more time. It is a great word this morning. Whew. And one of my favorites. And it says this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them, men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these were their names. From the tribe of Reuben, Shammu, the son of Zakkur. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Agal, the son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, the son of Nun. From the tribe of Benjamin, Peltai, the son of Raphu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gedaliah, the son of Saudi. From the tribe of Joseph, that is from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susai. From the tribe of Dan, Amuel, the son of Gamaliel. From the tribe of Asher, Setor, the son of Michael. From the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vashai. From the tribe of Gad, Gaiul, the son of Mekai. Well, these are the names of the men from Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hosea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Hallelujah. Woo, that's my guy. That's my guy. And I love, you know, y'all know I have a love relationship with Joshua. I do. And it goes on to say, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage. That's my word. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Shashai, and Tamai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Catch that number. After 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it were men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers on sight. And so we were in their sight, and so were in their sight." Again, only Caleb is speaking up. When you have a whole group of people against something that God said do, you have a tendency to have folks want to follow after the people instead of following after God. We got to follow God. What does God say? God is testing them. And right now, there are some that are failing. And I'm going to tell you, of the 10, there are 10 that are going to fall. But 2 are standing on the Lord's side, Joshua and Caleb. So let's go into chapter 14. I will come back and read the life lessons for chapters 13, 14, and 15 after I finish chapter 15. And let's keep going. This word is so rich. It is so, so, so good. And it says, "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses, and Aaron and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us up to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we pass through is to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor go of the land, for they are our bread. their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Didn't God tell us to be strong and courageous? Didn't he tell us that? Didn't he say, there be of good courage? Be of good courage, which means you got to be strong. You got to be courageous. You cannot walk in fear. You have to walk in faith. But only 2 out of 12 chose God's side. So are you a 2, are you a 12, or a 10 today? 10 may have gone to the left, but those 2 went to the right with God. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And Moses said to the Lord, every time they acted up, Moses would be the one on his knees praying for them. Every time. And here he goes, Moses interceding, that first intercessor, interceding for the people of God. And this is what Moses said. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it by your might. You brought these people up from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them. And you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring his people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Woo, that's our word for this morning. Can I say it one more time? But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory, the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who reject me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and has followed me truly, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcass fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years. Remember, the spies spied out the land for 40 days. They came back whining and complaining, them 10 out of 12. And what did God say? Okay, y'all, talking all that, 40 years. Now you're going to have to be out here a year for every day they spied out the land. And so let's see what happens. And he says, and your son shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all the evil congregations who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. So again, do you want to be a 10 or a 2? Mother Valerie, I'm going to be a 2 today. I'm going to be a 2 whenever God tells me to be a 2. I'm going to be with Joshua and Caleb. I'm with them. Hallelujah. Because the other
Amen.
Team died of a plague because they were hard-hearted and stiff-necked and afraid to walk with God, afraid to walk in courageousness, afraid to come back and say, yes, it's flowing with milk and honey, and God be with us, we can win, just like Joshua and Caleb said. But instead, they wanted to stone them because they gave a good report on the Lord's side this morning. And it goes on to tell us, Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly, and they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies. For the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you. Now Moses, who is your leader, has told you, don't go. Don't go up there. But what do they do? As always, hard-hearted and hard-headed. Presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the ark of the covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah. Just hard-headed. We cannot try to outdo God. Just hard-headed men and women. And then it goes on to tell us in chapter 15. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land you are to inhabit, which I'm giving to you, and you make an offering by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a vow or as a freewill offering or in your appointed feast to make a sweet aroma to the Lord, from the herd of the flock. Then he who presents his offering to the Lord shall bring a grain offering, a one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour mixed with one-fourth of a hin of oil and one-fourth of a hin of wine as a drink offering. You shall prepare with the burnt offering or the sacrifice for each lamb or for a ram which you shall prepare as a grain offering, two-tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with one-third of a hin of oil. And as a drink offering, you shall offer one-third of a hin of wine as a sweet aroma to the Lord. And when you prepared a young bull as a burnt offering or as a sacrifice to fulfill a vow or as a peace offering to the Lord, then shall be offered with the young bull a grain offering of three-tenths of an ephah of fine flour mixed with half a hin of oil. And you shall bring as the drink offering half a hin of wine as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Thus it shall be done for each young bull, for each ram, or for each lamb or young goat, according to the number that you prepare. So you shall do with everyone according to their number. All who are native born shall do these things in this manner in the presence, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And if a stranger dwells with you, or whoever is among you throughout your generations, and would present an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so shall he do. One ordinance shall be for you of the assembly and for the stranger who dwells with you, an ordinance forever throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. One law, one custom shall be for you and for the stranger who dwells with you. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land to which I bring you, then it will be when you eat of the bread of the land that you shall offer up a heave offering to the Lord. You shall offer up a cake of the first of your ground meal as a heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall you offer it up. Or the first of your ground meal, you shall give to the Lord a heave offering throughout your generation. If you sin unintentionally and do not obey all these commandments, which the Lord has spoken to Moses, all that the Lord has commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day the Lord gave commandment and onward throughout your generations, then it will be, if it is unintentionally committed without the knowledge of the congregation, that the whole congregation shall offer one young bull as a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord with the grain offering and his drink offering according to the ordinance, and one kid of the goat as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for the whole congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it was unintentional. They shall bring their offering, an offering made by fire, to the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their unintended sin. It shall be forgiven the whole congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger who dwells among them, because all the people did it intentionally. And if a person sins unintentionally, then he shall bring a female goat in his first year as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for the person who sins unintentionally. When he sins unintentionally before the Lord to make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. You shall have one law for him who sins unintentionally, for him who is native born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger who dwells among them. But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is a native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandments. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation, because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. And it says again, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassel of the corners. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And as we go back to chapter 13, excuse me, to the life lessons for today. It says this in chapter 13:2, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. The Lord had said that he was sending his people into a good land, and now he directs them to send spies ahead to confirm his words. He could have sent them in blindly, but instead he graciously gave them a preview. Numbers 13:28. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. It is always spiritually foolish to focus our attention on the things that the Lord ignores. The Lord had emphasized the goodness of the land. The 10 spies focused on the strength of the opposition. Most often, our spiritual opponents will be stronger than us, but they are never stronger than the Lord. Hallelujah. Nobody can outgive God. Nobody can do more than God. Hallelujah. And it says, how do I keep my focus on God and not on the obstacles in my life? Fear can paralyze the stoutest of hearts when we perceive a threat to our well-being or an obstacle standing between us and our goals. We often fear that the overall plan of our lives is in serious jeopardy. In those times, we need to remember the promises of God. When the Israelite spies set out on a reconnaissance mission to assess the land of Canaan, they had no idea what they would encounter. It was a great honor to be chosen by Moses for such an assignment, and Moses selected the top leader from each of the 12 tribes for the job. All their training and leadership experience did not prepare them for something so overwhelming. Who had ever heard of a great cluster so huge that it had to be carried on a pole lifted by two men? Who could possibly be prepared for Canaanite warriors so massive they dwarfed the best of Israel's army? It is no wonder these spies felt a whirling mix of emotions as they headed back to their commander-in-chief to give a full report. You can imagine the scene. Moses and Aaron, Moses' brother, gathered the people to hear the news. The spies confirmed that the promised land was indeed everything God said it was, but they focused on what they saw as the obstacles to their taking. the land, namely the giants who lived there. They gave an accurate report, but they failed to give the whole story. Only Joshua and Caleb spoke the truth. These four men recounted what they had seen and then reiterated in their own words the promise of God that God had brought them to his point. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land that gives it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Joshua and Caleb lived to see the promised land, but only because they focused on the goal God had laid out for them and not on the obstacles standing in the way. The blessings God has in store for you are just as rich. Never allow short-sighted vision, especially ones focused on obstacles that block the far-reaching plan of the Lord. And when you do, you mess up. But we got to clean up and know that God's got us covered. And it says, would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Numbers 14 and 13. At times it might seem easier to return to a place of spiritual bondage, but we can never move towards blessing by returning to slavery. God told Israel to move forward, not back. Come on now. Not looking back, I'm moving ahead. When we allow fear to drive us to spiritual rebellion, we take a step toward devastation rather than towards the blessing and growth God has for us. Numbers 14 and 11. How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I performed among them? How easily we forget the many signs of God's love and protection. One great way to drive out unbelief from our hearts is to regularly count the blessings that God has showered upon us. When did you last do this? Hallelujah, this morning. Numbers 14 and 19. Pardon the iniquity of this people. I pray according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Moses appeals to the Lord on behalf of his people on the basis of God's name, that is, his reputation, attributes, and fame. Moses won this battle because he fought it on his knees. What do we say all the time? Take it to the throne and not to the phone. Numbers 14 and 24, my servant Caleb, because he has followed me fully, I will bring into the land. God promised to do for Caleb what he refused to do for the rebels. Why? Because Caleb followed his Lord. Fully God assumes full responsibility for our needs when we obey him wholeheartedly. The difference between success and failure comes down to, is the Lord with you or are you with the Lord? Hallelujah. Mother Valerie, I'm on the Lord's side. Numbers 15 and 30. The person who does anything presumptuously brings reproach on the Lord, and he should be cut off from among his people. All sin separates us from God. But some sins bring a harsher judgment than others. Presumptuous sins, brazenly knowing, defiant, arrogant, premeditated sins carry a heavy penalty. Only fools plan to sin and ask forgiveness later. You know, I'm going to go out there and gather this wood on Sabbath when I was told not to do it. And what happened? Loss is life. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Amen. Amen and amen again. Who's on the Lord's side? Joshua says, for me and my house, we will praise the Lord. And when you go against God, you have to pay for it. Like the man picking up them sticks, he knew better than to pick up sticks on the Sabbath. The Sabbath day was holy and it was a rest day. So he knew better, and he lost his life. I'm coming out of chapter 16. Now Korah the son of Ishmael, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abram, the son of Eab, and on the son of Pelah, son of Reuben, took men. They rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much on yourself, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and cause him to come near to him. The one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this: take censers, Korah, and all your company, put fire in them, put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the holy one. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi." Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them, that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the son of Levi with you? And are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him?" Moses sent to call Dathan and Abram, the son of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." Then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, one of them." Moses said to Korah, "Tomorrow you and all your company be present before the Lord. You and they, as well as Aaron, let each take his censer and put incense in it, and if in each of you brings his censer before the Lord, 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer." So every man took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, stood at the tabernacle meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Separate yourself among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." Then they fell on their faces and said, "Oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and you be angry with all the congregation?" So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dan, and Abram." Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abram, and the elders of Israel followed him, spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." And so they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abram. And Dathan and Abram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives, the sons, and the little children. And Moses said, "By this you should know that the Lord has sent me to do all of these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common faith of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth, swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord." And it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground slid apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their household, and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. Earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. You know, the men committed the sin but yet and still their whole family suffered. Their children, the wives that belonged to them, everything that belonged to them went down into the pit. The earth opened up. Then all Israel who was around them fled at their cry, for they said, "Least the earth swallow us up also." Fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell Eleazar, the son of Aaron, priest, to pick up the censers out of the blaze, for they are holy, and scatter the fire from this in the way. The censers of these men who sin against their own souls, let them be made into hammered plates as a covering for the altar, because they present them before the Lord, therefore they are holy. And there shall be a sign to the children of Israel." So Eleazar, the priest, took the bronze censers, which those who were hammered, burned up, had presented, and they were hammered out as a covering on the altar to be a memorial to the children of Israel, that no outsider who is not a descendant of Aaron should come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he might not become like Korah and his companion, just as the Lord had said to him through Moses. On the next day, all the congregation and the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." Now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron that they turned toward the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly the cloud covered it. The glory of the Lord appeared. Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." That I will consume them in a moment. All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's the title. All the earth. God told Moses, "Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces. So Moses saying to Aaron, "Take a censer, put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly, quickly through the congregation to make atonement for them, for wrath have gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun." Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the assembly. And already the plague had begun among the people. So he put in the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, so the plague was stopped. Now those who died in the plague was 14,700, beside those who died in the Korah incident. So Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle meeting for the plague. Isn't that amazing? That's truly amazing. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and get from them a rod for each father's house, all their leaders according to their father's houses, 12 rods. Write each man's name on his rod, and you shall write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi, for there shall be one rod for the head of each father's house. Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony, where I'll meet with you, and it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel, which they made against you." You cannot complain against God's holy one. If it's the prophet of God and everything he say come to pass, then he is from God. And you have to be careful speaking against God's pastors. You have to be careful putting your mouth, opening up and talking about them. You have to be really careful doing it. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and each of their leaders gave him a rod of peace for each leader according to the father's house, with 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Came to pass on the next day, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds, had produced blossoms, and yield ripe almonds. Then Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord to all the children of Israel, and each man took his rod. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring Aaron's rod back before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels, that you may put their complaints away from me, lest they die." God don't want you complaining all the time. God is a good God, and he don't want to listen to complaints. I mean, he wakes you up, he clothes you, he gives you a place to stay, food to eat. You got meat, you have water, and anything else, all these complaints, God said, put their complaints away from me, least they die. Thus did Moses, just as the Lord had commanded him, so did. Children of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, surely we'll die, we'll perish, we'll all perish. Whoever comes near the tabernacle of the Lord must die. Shall we all utterly die? Then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons, your father's house with you, shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary, and you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. Also bring with you your brethren of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons are with you before the tabernacle of witness. They shall attend to your needs and all the needs of the tabernacle, but they should not come near the articles of the sanctuary and the altar, lest they die, they and you also. God has a certain way that he wants things done, and he wants it done the way he wants it done. For God is holy, and he wants things done exactly the way he wants it done. They should be joined with you and attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting for all the works of the tabernacle, but an outsider shall not come near you. You shall attend to the duties of the sanctuary and the duties of the altar, as there be no more wrath on the children of Israel. Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you given by the Lord to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything at the altar and behind the veil, and you shall serve. I will give your priesthood to you as a gift of service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, here I myself also have given you charge of my heave offerings, all the holy gifts of the children of Israel. I have given them as a proportion to you and your sons as an ordinance forever. This shall be yours for the most holy things reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, every grain offering, every sin offering, and every grain offering, and every trespass offering which they render to me shall be most holy for you and your sons. In a most holy place you shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. This also is yours, the heave offering of their gift with all of the wave offering of the children of Israel. I have given them to you and your sons and your daughters with you as an ordinance forever. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. All the best of the oil, all the best of new wine and grain, their first fruits, which they offer to the Lord, I have given them to you. Whatever first ripe fruit is in the land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Everything that first opened the womb of all flesh, which they bring to the Lord, whether a man or a beast, shall be yours. Nevertheless, firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. And those redeemed of the devoted things you shall redeem when 1 month old, according to your valuation, for 5 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of a cow, the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you should not redeem. They are holy. You should sprinkle their blood on the altar, burn their fat as an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord, and their flesh shall be yours, just as the whey breast and the right thigh are yours. Woo! I'm so happy and glad that we don't have to do all that. Jesus,
amen.
Died once and for all. And we don't have to do all these wave offerings, all these heave offerings, and 5 shekels of silver, 2 shekels, and all that. We don't have to do that stuff. I thank God for it. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offered to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with you and as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes from Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle meeting. Hereafter, the children of Israel should not come near the tabernacle meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as heave offerings to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore I have said to them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak thus to the Levites and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe. And I guess that's why we pay a tenth even to this day. And your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it was the grain of the thrashing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you shall also offer heave offering to the Lord from all your tithes which you receive from the children of Israel, to give the Lord's heave offering from it to Aaron the priest. All of your gifts you shall offer up, every heave offering due to the Lord from all the best of them, the consecrated part of them. Therefore you shall say to them, when you have lifted up the best of it, then the rest shall be accounted to the Levites as the produce of the threshing floor, and as the produce of the wine press. You may eat it in any place, you and your household, for it is your reward for your work in the tabernacle meeting. You shall bear no sin because of it when you have lifted up the best of it. You shall not profane the holy gifts of the children of Israel, lest you will die. Life lessons, lest you will die. Numbers 18:20. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Aaron had no territorial property, but God gave himself as Aaron's portion and inheritance. Isn't that beautiful? God gave himself as an inheritance for Aaron's portions. When we find our treasure in God, we gain a rich store of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. God gave himself. Life lessons number 17 and 8. Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron had produced blossoms and yield ripe almonds. The Lord would go to great lengths to show us and confirm to us his perfect will. Not only did Aaron's rod show signs of growth, but it shows the complete cycle of the almond tree from bud to blossom to shoot. Interesting, the almond was a symbol for haste and vigilance, two qualities the high priest would need to exhibit. Isn't that something? Those are some of the life lessons. Numbers 16 to 28. Know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. God places whomever he wills wherever he wants them. We have no
come
right
on
to claim
now
a place of authority for ourselves. As servants of God, we should delight in whatever place he gives us. Moses only did what God sent him to do. Centuries later, Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, for I always do those things which please him. John 8:28-29. Boy, Numbers 15:30. The person who does anything presumptuously brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people. All sins separate us from God. but some sins bring a harsher judgment. I think she already read that.
Yes,
all
ma'am.
Sins
but it, read it again
God.
Because
you know, God
it's
is
true.
Good. All these life lessons are beautiful, and we need to know
yes.
that God do things in a certain way. And like that man, he was collecting sticks on the Sabbath. Now, he knew better, but I guess he wanted to do it anyway, and he lost his life. The very breath that he breathed, they took it to God. They took it to Moses. Moses didn't know what to do. He took it to God. God just stoned him to death. Because when I tell you to do something, and I'm God, the God of the heaven and the earth, obedience is better than sacrifice. So he should have obeyed God and did. But now, gathering to lose your life over sticks on the ground? He was gathering
Amen.
Sticks?
The
Boy,
sons of Korah.
That's pretty bad
that
to lose your life
one,
over
mother.
Something like that.
Mother, the sons
mm-hmm.
of Korah. You know, they thought
Amen.
They was all that. Just, you know, just like Miriam and Aaron talking about, well, you know, Moses, we were, you know, Miriam got leprosy. But these folks lost their life. And their family lost their life because of a hard-hearted, thinking we in charge. You can't outdo God. And you can't tell God what to do. You just came back and read it. Know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them on my own will. God in charge. And when folks try to take over something that God ain't not put them in, they gonna mess up every time. These folks lost their life. Opened up, sucked them down. Whole family. All they tents, all they stuff gone. Ooh, what a word today, Mother.
Amen.
But Mother, as we get ready to wrap up, I just have to say, I'm a two. I'm a two. You a two. We a two. Give me a two over a ten any day, because I'm going to be a Joshua or I'm going to be a Caleb. But I could do without being the other ten spies that decided to not do what God said do. Then I'm going to take it upon myself without God's blessing to do what we're going to go and we're going to take care of this. Wrong. You're not going to take care of anything but be dead. We got to trust God every
Amen.
Time. But what a word
Amen.
Today. Woo. What a great, oh,
Amen.
What a great, great word. And I don't believe we have anyone with a hand up today. So we can pray. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. And for those that are in the vicinity, you know, please keep Mother Rita's family in your prayers, including Mother Valerie and Sister Carolyn. And I believe I have a word from Sister Carolyn now. I was going over a little bit because I didn't have a word yet and wanted to make sure we got a word this morning. And our word today is right on point with all of our lessons from Joshua and Caleb to the sons of Korah. It says, when your blessings are great, getting closer, your attacks become greater. Come on now, Mother. I got to read that first part one more time. When your blessings are getting closer, your attacks become greater. Stay focused and trust in God. You will be promoted soon, Friday. What a word and right on point. Again, this close, Mother. You can see, as they say, a skosh from walking into the promised land right there, right at the cusp of being able to walk in. And instead, you trusted the wrong people. You didn't trust God. And what did Sister Carolyn say this morning? When your blessings are getting closer, your attacks become greater. Caleb and Joshua were almost stoned because just this close. And they did not stay focused, Mother. They didn't trust in God. And they lost their opportunity to make it into the promised land. We don't want to lose our opportunity. We don't want to be presumptuous like the sons of Korah, think we can take over what is not being given to us. We got to believe that what God has for us is for us. And what God is going to give you, it's yours. Your promised land is only a step away. Because when God goes before you, nothing can stand against you. We trust God. So today, Mother, I'm a number. You can be number one. You can be Caleb and I'll be Joshua. Because we're going to make it in. Hallelujah. And guess what? They didn't look any older than what they looked 40 years in the past. Come on now. When they walked in 40 years later, they looked just like they looked when they didn't make it in with the 10 because of the 10 and the horrible attitude. Your attitude will determine your altitude. Hallelujah. I want to go up. I'm still practicing my rapture jump. Love you, Mother.
Amen.
Have a blessed and wonderful day. You know I'll be with you again on tomorrow as we celebrate Mother Rita. What a day, what a day. God is good. Love you, love you, love you. Love you all. Thank you for joining Mother Valerie and I this morning. I know we went a little over, but God's word is so important that you can't skimp on it. So thank you so much. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Come join me for New Testament, Psalm and Proverbs Sunday. And God is good. Keep God first in everything you do. Mother Valerie, I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. All of you, we love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. But love God and love us too. Be kind. Show an act of kindness today. Let God see how much you love him by doing something for others. Have a great day, family, Mother. I love you. Have a great day. It's a wrap. Thank you, Aunt Rita. Have a great day.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap. It is a wrap.